Exodus 20, verse 15. These are the words of God. You shall not steal. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. It seems like it would be a very simple commandment. And we see how we have stumbled from the knowledge of God as a culture and even a church culture. And that the primary way, or one of the primary ways many people think of obtaining things, is either how to trick or take others' property from them, or even to use the government to take others' property from them. Stealing is a fundamental form of practice of economics currently. Right now, one of the great problems in our country is that all of that extra money that the government made up, supposedly, to give away to others over the last couple of years of COVID, has, of course, not actually produced any goods or services. And so it just means that the total amount of money divided by the goods and services is higher. So having increased that ratio, it takes now more money to buy those goods and services, and everything that people thought that they had received, they discovered was just stolen from their future selves. Even this is the hardest upon those who have a difficult time earning, like the poor, and those who are no longer able to earn, such as those who are elderly and infirm. Not so much retired. There are many people who are not elderly or infirm, but have achieved the so-called American dream of no longer working. They could work, but it's harder on those who cannot work. And so one of the great big economic factors right now in our nation is that the value of that which was stored up by those, by some who worked hard their whole lives, has been suddenly and cruelly shrunk, and they've been stolen from. That's just an example. But in giving us this commandment, you shall not steal, the Lord does imply to us a few simple things that I would like for us to consider briefly this morning. First, possessions are a good thing. The Lord is the one who assigns possessions to us. He made the world and all that was in it before he made man, so that we might see the whole world and all of the good with which he filled it, as a gift from him. And we see a microcosm, a special local instance of that in chapter 2 of Genesis, where he makes especially the good things of the garden, which he emphasizes as the best of the best in the whole world, in the Garden of Eden, before he puts the man there, or he places the man there, and he shows him actually his making of all those things. So possessions are a good thing. They're not a bad thing. Our goal is not to have nothing. Our goal is to see that it is all from God, and to use it all for God, and to know that if God has given us Christ, then everything is actually for our good, whether we immediately, personally possess it or not. It's one of the great things that the gospel does for you, is it tells you that he who did not spare his only son, he will for sure give you together with him all things. And all things are ours because we are Christ's. He says in another place to the Corinthians there, not the Romans. And therefore all things are working together for our good. So possessions are a good thing. And that means our neighbor's possessions are a good thing for him. And one of the great parts of loving your neighbor is wanting not only for him to have what God has appointed to him, but also, of course, for him to have the gospel, so that those things will be good for him. It is important, of course, to obey God and not taking from our neighbor. But if we want our neighbor genuinely to benefit from what he has, then most of all, we want our neighbor to have Christ. Because though he has all other good things, if he doesn't have Christ, it is all judgment against him. Kindness and mercy and patience from God that will testify against him in the last day. And this is what we want for you, our dear children, our nearest neighbors, that you would have Christ. There are many, even in churches, who think that they put good food on the table and they're careful that it would be nutritious, and they get their children an education and have their children learn things like economics and skills of self-discipline and give them means by which they can, quote-unquote, get ahead in this world, that they have done very well for their children. But if you possess all those things and you are able to come into a very comfortable and affluent, wealthy, earthly life, but you don't come into possession of Christ, then all those other good things that we have provided for you will be a curse against you, will testify against you that you enjoyed much of the creation, but you did it in denial of the Creator, and the wrath of God will be revealed against all of your unrighteousness and ungodliness. So the first thing is, possessions are a good thing, and the most important thing to possess is the Lord himself, that he would be our heritage, that he would be our inheritance, that we would even be able to be like Moses, who had not yet brought Israel into possession, and ultimately would not even be permitted himself to enter, and yet the one psalm in the Psalter that he pens begins, "Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout our generations." So possessions are a good thing, but then, of course, there are right and wrong ways of possessing. How do we know that? Well, we know that because this is a commandment against wrong ways of possessing. There are many right ways of possessing. One, of course, a great one, is to be given gifts by the King of Kings. And we see this reflected even in many places where there is generosity of kings and generosity of people who are not civil magistrates or great kings, but others who are wealthy. And so you have even the church being the beneficiary of such kings as Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar and Cyrus and Darius. So it's actually a mercy from God if he gives his people eyes in favor in the eyes of the magistrate. It does not constitute an approval of or participation in the acts of Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar or Cyrus or Darius. To receive from them, you can do both. Oppose the injustice and wickedness of the king, especially by testifying to the one true God and seeking that the king would come into repentance, like the repentance into which Zacchaeus came. And of course, the first part of his repentance was refusing to cheat anyone and returning so far as he was able with extra whatever he had cheated from others. But to a lesser extent, and here in America, we're all still, in God's amazing providence to this nation, kings of a sort. There's talk of poverty level, but someone who is in poverty, or below the poverty line, I guess, or at the poverty line in America, is still one of the wealthiest in terms of goods and comfort of this world. In the history of this world. But generosity is a very important means of provision. It's the opposite of stealing. When you look in the New Testament at what Repentance from stealing looks like he says, let the thief no longer steal, but let him work hard with his hands so that, and it's not so that he can provide for himself, but the apostle says so that he may have something to give to others in times of need. In other words, God has so richly filled this world with good and so designed his providence that hard work and frugality, working hard with your hands and resisting living for pleasure and possessions and self-indulgence will give you such a surplus that when you actually do hear of need, and there is need, of course, because this is a fallen world in which there is sin and misery and the effects of sin, including such things as drought and famine and so forth, so that when someone else has need, you have extra and you are able to be generous. And so repentance from this sin doesn't just look like working hard for your own goods, but it looks like generosity. And then there are other ways, other right ways of possessing. Of course, right good hard work is itself a form of generosity. In our interactions with others, the work that you do, the goods that you produce, the service that you provide, it actually has to be valuable to someone for it to be able to obtain things for you. And so God gives us the mercy of a world and economics that are designed to encourage us to at least pursue another's good, even if out of self-interest. Now, this is very different for a believer, right? The unbeliever who has only his fleshly nature, he wants it to be something that is good for others so that he may obtain. And he wants it not just to be a trick, which you may or may not call marketing. There's legitimate marketing, but there is a form of marketing and sales and so forth that just tries to trick everyone into thinking that what you are producing or offering is good so that you can get it from them. But if it's all marketing and it's all tricks, then goods and services aren't actually being produced, and we all go down together. So someone who has at least the wisdom of a Milton Friedman or a Thomas Milton Friedman or a Thomas Sowell or other maybe less populist but good economists, they will say is important to produce something that is genuinely good. Because otherwise we'll all go down together. But for the believer, he wants it to do genuine good because he wants the thing that he is doing with his life to genuinely and truly and greatly benefit his neighbor out of love for his neighbor, out of a desire to participate in the generosity of his God. So for a believer, for you, even the work that you do, you should seek to be a form of generosity, that you would be spending your life doing the kind of hard work that benefits others. And this makes the key to all economics good wives and mothers. Because if people are learning to love God and receive all things as good from Him and to be productive with their lives for the good of others in the home and out of the home, then the most valuable thing is actually a converted person. And for the bearing and much of the bringing up of children, the mother and wife who does so is in God's providence and the instrumentality that He has established most vital. So we all want to follow, and we all want to have a life that is as productive as possible for good. Of course, to possess in the wrong way then is worse than taking from the total amount that is produced, taking from your neighbor, harming your neighbor. It does all those things. But as we've been hearing for the last several minutes, as we think about this, you shall not steal, and how it implies that possessions are good, and that God Himself is the one who has established what we are enabled to possess, and that there are right and wrong ways of coming into possession. For the sake of time, we won't talk about inheritance just now, but that also fits in. So if we steal, if we come into possession in a wrong way, then we're not only harming our neighbor, but we're also denying God and his goodness, denying him as the one who is a provider, and obscuring, hiding, at least from our neighbor's sight and from our own sight, the fact that it is God who provides. It's a way of saying, well, God has set up a system in which he would provide for me, but I'm going to step outside God's system because I think I can get more and better by myself laying down different ways of obtaining. That's what we do when we steal. So, Sophia, if God's main way of providing for you just now in your life has been through mommy and daddy, and they have things that are good for you, and they are glad to give you good things, and then you decide you want something that mom and dad aren't giving you yet, or you want it quicker so you don't want to bother with asking and you're going to take it for yourself, then you're saying, God gave me parents who are the way that he gives me good things, but I will go around God and I will get more, better, good things for myself by not asking, by taking for myself. Now that would be a horrible thing, not just because you take from mommy and daddy, who have plenty, but it's still wrong to take from mom and dad in a way that hurts the house and hurts you. But the big reason it would be wrong is because it would say, I can do better for myself than God does for me, and I will break his rules to get my stuff. That's the great reason behind you shall not steal. Not just because it hurts others, hurts the individual you take from, and hurts everyone by you not being productive yourself and harming someone else's productivity, but because it denies God as the provider, denies his goodness. It makes you trust in yourself, and it takes away from that which God has given to others as a demonstration, display of his goodness to them. So it's actually a very significant moral issue, isn't it? What we do in order to obtain, how we come into our possessions, and what we do with them. The Lord give us to be generous, to be generous with the work that we choose, generous with the way that we do it. It would be hardworking and excellent, generous with what we are able to obtain by that work, that we would be charitable towards others, especially towards those that right now are being most hard hit, those who have not means to obtain for themselves, and that we be generous especially to our children and our children's children, that as God has set up this, even this covenantal succession of inheritance, as a display of how he is with us, that we would enjoy so long as he maintains it to our descendants, that we would enjoy his blessing to us and to our offspring, even in the matter of material possession. Let's ask the Lord to help us now. Our Father in heaven, we pray that your Holy Spirit would bless to us this portion of your word. Very immediately, we pray that you would give us diligence and joy and zeal in being productive and doing excellently throughout the rest of this day. That every day you would give us the repentance and faith and life and righteousness of Jesus to be in us that is necessary for that day. And that you would be seen as a good and great, merciful and generous God and King and Father and provider for us, by not only making us to reflect your image in that, but also blessing, establishing the work of our hands so that it is productive, so that we can be generous. Help us, O Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.